Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast this week. I did want to acknowledge that certain events have been happening in the U.S. and in Venezuela that are causing a lot of concern and fear for those I know. I don't know where exactly this path is going to lead for the U.S. and for the global community, but I do know that I am finding strength and reassurance and comfort from friends, from loved ones, from those who make me laugh, and those I keep in community. So, you know, do know that if you're having anxiety, if you're suffering fear, if you're having depression, reach out to those who love you. Reach out to those that you feel safe with. Reach out to those that make you feel good. With that being said, I'm going to continue this podcast and continue to bring you little and big stories of magic and oracles and gifts and messages from the universe. That's exactly who my guest is this time. It's Michelle Henderson. And I just really loved my conversation with her. She is just a delight. She's so interesting. She had a 30-year career as a teacher, an educational diagnostician, and behavior analyst. And then she had this profound spiritual awakening. And she is so humble, everybody. She's just incredibly humble. And she's here to do the work and bring what she's learning and maybe the things that she's finding out about to all of us. We have a really interesting conversation about Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene has been kind of this, I don't know, I've really admired her and appreciated her story because I do think that as a species, humanity always wants to find a scapegoat for anything that's going wrong. You know, if we have a bad harvest or not enough rain is falling in the sky, or, you know, maybe someone betrays Jesus to the guards and the powers that be. I mean, we're always looking for a scapegoat so that we don't have to take responsibility for our actions. And I really do think that Mary Magdalene has been a scapegoat for centuries, and a really convenient scapegoat at that. And so the conversation that I have with Michelle, kind of, we get into that story, we get into Mary Magdalene's life. And I, for one, am so grateful that Michelle is doing the work that she's doing, because I think the work that she's doing is allowing all of us to understand that we too can go deeper into this reality. We too can have experiences with angels or liminal spaces or things that are ephemeral and maybe that we can't even imagine exist. I think Michelle is here to let us know that we all can meet our spirit guides, that we all can meet our higher selves, that we all can go to realms that we formerly were told are bunkum and don't actually exist. So yeah, I hope you enjoy this conversation. I really admire Michelle and I just loved her sense of humor. All right, let's get to it. Here's my conversation with Michelle Henderson.
Whenever I was a teacher, I saw miracles every day in my kids in the classroom. When I worked with kids with autism, I saw miracles. And I just saw spirit within each one of these children. And because they haven't been programmed yet, but the autism, you know, kids under the autism spectrum, they can see things that we cannot see.
If you had to go on a stage or you're at a party and someone says, hey, introduce yourself, how would you do that?
I would say it's a very complicated answer. And I would say I wear many masks. I have learned so much. I've been a of course, a little girl growing up is a childhood. I have been a mother. I have been a sister. I have been now I'm a grandmother and I'm a wife, which I absolutely love. But am I any of those? Or is that the role I'm playing? So the answer is I'm none of those, but I love it so much. I love to play the role of a grandmother. I love to play the role of all of it. And I learned so many lessons. And I think that's why we are here, is to learn along the way. And I think each day is a blessing. Not many people live day one. You know, they may pass away then when they're 1 year old or 1 day old. And so I am just thankful that I'm still here on the earth and just amazed at things that are going on. And I just feel like if we just find the joy and we continue our look through the eyes of a child, which I tend to, then we can find so much joy here on earth. And that's what I tend to do.
Okay. I just so appreciate that answer because I tend to look at the world through the eyes of a child. And sometimes that's irritating for other people. Do you ever experience that?
Absolutely. They're going, why are you so happy? What is there to be happy about? Yeah. And they want to bring you down. But what I do, instead of getting angry about it or thinking twice about it and thinking, what are you doing? I continue to be the joyful myself, and I continue to be in the same mood that I'm in. And I try to bring them up, but it's their choice. So if they don't want to come up, then I just leave the room or leave it to themselves and just say, it's okay. I'm having a glorious day. Yes, I've even run out of gasoline this morning, but I'm still in a good mood. And so, yeah, so there, and it's so interesting how we tend to attract those people that don't have that same joy in life. And I think they're really asking to say hi and to be noticed. And so I try, if they're willing, I will have a mini conversation with them to try to bring them up. Because I think just being around that joy will sometimes bring their joy, I mean, their energy up as well.
I love how optimistic you are, because that is not when I, you know, when I have met people like that, I have this, my joy and my happiness is very hard won. You know, I went through decades of profound depression. It runs in my family. And, you know, a healer here in Santa Fe who had a 3-month waiting list, he's no longer with us, but he saw me. I had the privilege of seeing him twice here in Santa Fe. And the first time he was walking away from me and he just casually said, by the way, most of what you're carrying isn't yours. It's yes. All your ancestors. And, you know, that really made me look at my story, my life, the grief and the sorrow that I was carrying, the sadness of my mother, and realize that, holy cow, I am carrying all of these women, all of my ancestors. It's all come to me. And that really started my journey. To what does it look like to heal? What does it look like to cry for months? Because you just have to get that energy out however you can. I have a friend who goes in the woods and screams. I don't have that privilege, but whatever, whatever. It's so you're an angel, because I've fought hard to be full of joy, and being around those people is just very intense for me.
Now, not to say I have not been through a depression. I have not been through emergency situations growing up. And like you said, I took on a lot of my family. I'm real good in family emergencies. I tend to think about it afterwards, and then I get ill afterwards as well. And so I've had going through my own healing. It is very difficult to heal because you're actually having to confront things that you don't want to confront. And like you said, it's a family history of going around and around the same behavior over again and again. And it's hard to break the chains, But you know what? It's so worth it when you do. And there are some days I'm real happy, and then there's some days that I want to stay in bed. So even though I am joyful, it's nice to have it whenever I have it, and I enjoy the moment. But I'm human, so I will have those down days, and I embrace it. I embrace all of those feelings because that is a part of my human experience.
Yeah, yeah. I would love for you. I already am smitten with you. I'm just going to put that out there. I would love for you to tell my listeners, what is it that you do now? And when you were a kid, did you even think you'd be doing anything like this?
No, no. And I'll kind of back up and cut, because I think every journey is just so interesting. I love to hear other people's journeys, because our journeys are the same, but a little bit different. And because, you know, consciousness, we're all the same, but we are learning at different rates. And if you are not, if I explain my journey and you're going, well, why can't I go through that? You're on your own journey. Don't compare yourself with anybody else, because I think a lot of people tend to do that. But no, I grew up in a very, very conservative Christian home and town. And we went to church every Sunday, every Sunday. We would not sleep in. And I'm just going, you know, I'm going, which it was, and really I look back and I'm embracing that, because I really feel like it was my foundation. And I feel like I needed that. And I became really close to Jesus, not as a savior, but as a friend. And I could feel people, and I could feel spirit come into the room. And I was not afraid of it, but whenever I would talk to my friends about it, they became afraid, which made me afraid. And they said, do not open that door. Do not open that door. Don't go there. And so I would step back. But in my 20s, it's almost like spirit was knocking at my door saying, Michelle, you know, we want you to listen. This is a part of you. This is who you are. And I went actually to my minister and said, I keep hearing spirit. I keep hearing voices. Am I going crazy? Or is And my minister said, and I thought it was so interesting. She said, you know, if you are not ready for this journey, or you're not ready for this road, tell them that. And if you're afraid, tell them that. And so I went, oh, okay. So I had a little conference with spirit. And I said, you know what? I'm not ready yet. I need to learn more. I need to learn more knowledge. So I do not feel fearful. And so they backed off, and I tuned it down just a little bit, but I worked with kids. I would use my intuition. I just would not communicate with the spiritual world. And then one day I had a lady screaming at me in my head and said, I want, and I was watching a movie, and I'm going, okay. But she said, I want you to tell my granddaughter something. And I said, all right, whatever you need me to do, I will, as long as you let me watch the movie. And so I told my friend the next day, and she accepted it. And I'm thinking, you know what? It gave me confidence and it gave me clarity. And so right when I retired from education, I told my husband, I feel like I'm being called for the spiritual world. And he said, absolutely. So I started taking classes right before COVID, taking psychic mediumship, and learned the tool of the trade. And that really helped me. I did not realize that I still had my belief system tagging me along, and the fear was still there. I was still having a good time with it. And I felt like, this is not it. I'm still on my journey. I feel like people are asking for my services as a psychic medium to find answers, but they can actually find answers within themselves. And so my spiritual teacher one day came in, and when we were having a conference, and she said, I am getting a group together to do a plant medicine journey. And I'm going, what is that? Tell me more. Because all I did was drink wine, right? And so I was being pulled to it, and found out this plant medicine has an energy by itself, and they are actually teachers. you know, a live energy. And I went, okay, well, my first journey, I was sick for 6 hours. They said, oh, you won't be sick. You will not be sick. And what it was all of my ancestral healing that I had to do to get rid of the fear of having to be in control and just everything, you know, all my ancestral energy. And these were in my cells and I did not realize it. So it's for me, it was a godsend. It really helped me clear things up. And so that really paved the way. And it was a miracle in itself. I'll stop right there and then we'll continue.
No, I'm just flabbergasted. Okay. I just love your spirit because I am just listening to you and we go from, I retired from my education career to being in retirement and then doing a plant medicine ceremony. And I've never heard that before. And I just, kudos to you for being open to these different possibilities for learning in your life, different possibilities for teachings. I mean, I'm sure when you were growing up or even as an adult, you didn't think that plants could be teachers.
No. All I knew, and it's so interesting because I grew up, I was born in the 60s. So, you know, my mother grew up in the 60s. And of course, during the 60s, it was the hippie age. So as I grew up, it was like, no, we are not hippies. That is illegal. You do not go there. And I mean, even in high school, I did not. But I know the drugs in high school are totally different than plant medicine. But I didn't even want to try that. I wasn't being pulled to that. And yeah. So I was being pulled to plant medicine and it was, you know, the best thing that I said yes to. Now, not everybody can take plant medicine. They're not drawn to it. To me, you have to be drawn to it. So, yeah, so I've continued. And after this healing, I'll go back to also what you said. So a lot of my friends, you know, I'm sure that they're shaking their heads. And I do have one friend that said, you're not the same person. You're not, you know, she said, I'm not any fun. And I think what it is because I gave up wine. Wine to me, I mean, I was drinking quite a bit of wine and I got to a point where it didn't taste good anymore. And I'm going, well, I can have fun without the wine, you know, but I wasn't showing anxiety. I wasn't allowing her to control anymore. And so I think, which was a great thing. And I think it's our birthright to find out who we truly are. And that's what I'm doing. I mean, each layer of the onion is being peeled and I am just thrilled and finding more and more about myself.
Okay. That is absolutely gorgeous. That is so beautiful because you're on the journey, right?
Right.
And it's a lonely journey.
Yes.
It can be insanely lonely. I remember reading a book about you know, I love to learn. So I read books on everything. But I was reading a particular book about being a shamanic practitioner. And every book I've read on that subject, the one thing they make really clear is, hey, if you're going to start doing any kind of work like this, you're going to be lonely. Because most of society, you know, your old friends are going to say, okay, I don't really understand what's happening right now. Your family might even say, I don't understand what's happening right now. But to do the work or to learn, you do have to be alone a little bit because there's a lot of introspection and looking inward.
Absolutely. And when you say alone, you get to the point to saying, you know what? I love being alone. I love myself and I love being alone and I have that spiritual time so that I can listen into the spiritual world and which is listening to myself. And, but yeah, through this journey, through the healing, and it has not been an easy task because I've gone now through 8 journeys and with each journey, it's like I heal a little bit more and then I get the knowledge and the ancient knowledge has just come pouring in. And with each journey, I'm thinking, oh, I've healed. I'm done. Oh, no. You know, it's like, no, you're not done yet. We've got some more healing to do. But with each healing, it's almost like the prize of getting the ancient knowledge that is all about. And I did hook up, which I, you know, this is a gift in itself. So one day, one time, I had Jesus come. And he said, I have a friend with me named Sarah. And I want you to connect with her. And I want you to write her story, you know, about any, you know, because we feel like you are able to write the story. And I said, oh, absolutely. So I did it through automatic writing. And it was fascinating. And then I found out who she was and I'm going, oh, I don't know if I believe this or not, because you get to the point where you're getting all of this knowledge that you did not think was possible, that it's like taking the, I think it's the red pill during the Matrix when you, and you're going, oh, should I go back? I don't know if I want all this knowledge now that, you know, and a lot of people are actually connecting with the same. But I'll tell you right now, but Sarah became, I found out, was Mary Magdalene. It's a long story. And a lot of people, it's just not me, that are connecting with her. And it is like we need female energy at this time, because our structures are breaking down, which is the masculine energy, and she's coming through. So I've met so many people that go, oh my gosh, I had a dream about Mary. And growing up, I was not connected with either Mary. It was mainly Jesus, because I was Methodist. I was not Catholic. And so so this is all new to me.
I wanted, this kind of ties in with this question that I wanted to ask you, which was, you know, when you were growing up and you were sensing these spirits, when you were sensing these energies, did you have any inkling? Were they angels? Were they people who had passed away? Were they both? Were they archetypes? I mean, how did you understand who or what was coming to you?
It was both. So I just knew it. I knew who was coming to me. My grandmother who passed away, and I didn't really know her much. She was coming to me quite a bit. And then I would have angels come a lot. And it just like the energy would shift in the room. And I was called a sensitive child. So I called on angels a lot. It's because I could feel, and I didn't really understand it. When you're young and you don't understand what's going on, that's where the anxiety comes through. And so I was very anxious. I was very sensitive. And these were not my feelings. These were friends of, you know, my feelings of my friends or my mom and dad that I picked up. So, you know, I didn't really understand it until I got older and I went, ah, that's what was happening to me. But whenever I do mediumship and I'm connecting with somebody's loved one, it's so interesting how that works, because they don't tell you their name. You know, it's always nice they would know, but names are not important to the spiritual world. They tell you what they look like. They tell you characteristics or memories. I love memories. And I just find it so fascinating. So I just know that I'm connecting in. And because I've had clients that validated this, that's another reason why I know this. And I've heard so many stories from so many people that have gone through the same thing as mediumship.
I also want to just bring back this plant medicine piece in, because for thousands of years, there has been this understanding that, you know, humans can ally themselves with specific plants and create respectful and honoring relationships with plant spirits. So now you've done this work where you've had the ceremonies. You're connecting already with angels. You're connecting with people who have passed away. Have you chosen any plant spirits with which to work specifically, or have any come to you? Because I've been actually cultivating a relationship with juniper. And so juniper has been showing up for me. here. Someone said, how did you do that? And I said, well, I was house sitting at this place for 6 weeks and they had a hot tub out by the juniper tree. And so at night under the stars, I would sit in the hot tub and the poor juniper was literally 2 feet away. And so I'd say, hi, juniper. Let me tell you about my day. And then I'd say, look at the stars. Aren't they beautiful? I was basically, we were having a one-sided conversation, but that's what started it. And, you know, when I started doing work with this woman in Santa Fe who's mentoring me, juniper showed up for me in a vision. And I thought, oh my gosh, I thought the juniper was long suffering, having to listen about the minutia of my day. But I think it respected the fact that I treated it like an equal partner, you know, in relationship. So if you had any experiences like that, plant spirits that want to work with you.
Oh, absolutely. And I love that you bring this up because not many people know that, you know, whenever they do start working with plant medicine. And I want to bring up this point and I'll tell you. Everybody told me about cacao. And they said how wonderful cacao is. You know, it's the kind of like chocolate drink. And they go, oh my gosh, it just has so much energy. Well, I've tried cacao and it does not work for me. I do not feel anything. I don't feel connected to it. Now, the medicine that I've been working with is grandmother ayahuasca. And whenever you do grandmother ayahuasca, she stays with you. She is embedded in your cells. So that is one medicine that I will be working with, not meaning that I'll be taking grandmother ayahuasca, but her energy. So yes. And then San Pedro, oh my gosh, that's where I really felt that there are two different plants. And so San Pedro is the grandfather. And to me, it was so much more Christ consciousness I got to feel and more heavenly. And I know that I'll be working with him as well. So I'll be working with both of them.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about frequency and leveling up. And I think to myself, I mean, not just with respect to you, but this healer a long time ago that I was working with that talked about my ancestors, he also said, by the way, your body does not like alcohol. And so I drink maybe once a month at this point and not very much. But I know one of the things that I'm going to have to do is give up alcohol. I mean, that's just going to be and probably dairy.
Yeah. See, I love that you say that because you're talking about, it does interfere with your body. You have to look at mind, body, and soul. And so when your frequency does go up, you do have to start changing your diet because you need to find that high energy foods that are better for you and not just snacking. Yeah. After my energy raises each time, I am starving. So I always have to find out what works best for my body at that time.
Yeah. And did I mention sugar too?
Yes. That's true. And I know we all have a hard time giving it up. Once in a while, it's not bad.
Well, I'd love to ask the second question. You kind of sort of alluded to it, but did you grow up in a religious household? I think the answer is yes. But as you've kind of gotten older and you reflect back on what you experienced as a child, how has that connection to the divine changed, I guess, for you?
Well, to me, I am so grateful that I did grow up in a religious home and I even raised my children in a church. And so, you know, but I knew that they would find their own spiritual route once they left home. But I know it's so different for different people because some people have such a negativity around the church. And to me, I had such a loving environment and community that I did not feel that way. But the changes, since I've learned so much, it's almost like I grasp the Bible, I grasp the Christianity, but now I'm looking past that. I'm looking at different knowledge. I think that all of that is there for a reason. And so, again, I respect it. But now I want to look outside and I'm more of a spiritual seeker, learning more about myself. There's more to it. It's almost like it puts you in a box and it doesn't allow you to come out. But there are certain people that it works for them. So I don't want to downplay that for them. But for me, I kind of climbed outside the box and I'm looking more to it. But yeah, there's so much more out there, so much more ancient knowledge that we are unaware of unless we listen to it. And once you listen to it and you see it, it's almost like when, you know, when you have glasses for the first time and everything's fuzzy and you look at the tree and you're going, I don't see the details. You put the glasses on, you're going, oh, wow. It's the same thing. So you are open to it. You're more comfortable with it. And until you break down the belief system and that fear, the number one thing is that fear that everybody gets a hold of. And that's one thing that religion does teach us, you know, don't go there. The devil's going to get you, you know, and that, and, you know, I could go on forever for that. But if you let that go and go, no, I'm responsible. I am a part of the divine. I have that divine spark. I'm spiritual first and then human. So that's where I've come from and how I look at it.
I think it's also beautiful, and you've already kind of suggested this or stated this, that those spirits, those guardian angels, those energies are always around us all the time, and you know, they want to have a conversation, they want to have a relationship. One night I moved home in October of 2023 to help take care of my mom. It was supposed to be for 2 months, and due to various things happening that were just out of control, I ended up staying 6, but I was sleeping in the master bedroom because my mother had her special bed in my childhood bedroom all set up. So I was laying there and I was deep asleep, and I went to adjust and move to the other side of my body. And I looked up as I was rolling over, and against the opposite wall, there was this kind of not bright light, but a round circular light. And there was a shadow in it of like a head and a shoulder, but the shoulder looked like it had jagged wings. It was so I looked, it was like head and shoulders. And I looked and it caught my attention because I thought, where is that light? The window's over there, but where is this light coming from? And then the shadow was like, almost like, oh my God, she just saw me, and then disappeared. And I thought, what just happened? What just happened? I was like, what happened? And then in the following nights, I tried everything to make that light shine on the wall. And that there was no reason for that light to be there, whatever the figure was. But you, the second it realized I saw it, it was like, oops, and it disappeared.
Were you afraid of it when
No.
you saw it?
Well, you know, I love science. And so I'm like, huh, that's a weird shadow to be projecting onto the wall, because where is the light coming from? And then literally what's causing that shadow? Like, there's nothing that could be causing that shadow. And then, I mean, I could see it realize, oh my gosh, she can see me. And the second it realized that, the shadow was gone. I didn't feel threatened. I didn't feel scared. It was almost like it was watching over me or hanging out. I didn't sense any maliciousness from it. I just thought, oops, I saw something I wasn't supposed to. Wow. Yeah, it was actually really fascinating. So I thought, oh, they're always watching us. They're always around. And it's a good thing. You know, it's a good thing.
Can I shed some light on your situation?
Yeah.
Would that be okay?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So what I'm really getting is that, yeah, so it's a galactic being, okay, that knew you from a different life, okay, or knew you, period. And I don't want to say a different life because we're all living at the same time, but open a portal to come and see you. And it's almost like, oh, my friend sees me. Oh, no. So, you know, it's almost like she, you know, this entity did not want to make a mistake from where you were going, where you're heading, doesn't want to stop you in your progress.
That's fascinating. I mean, like I said, what was interesting was I went to dinner at a friend's house later that week, and apropos of nothing, she said, "So has anything strange happened in the house lately, or has anything like what's happening in your life?" And I was like, "That's a weird question." And yes, yes. And there were these other dinner guests there, and you know, I thought we're all standing at the kitchen island. I guess I said, "Well, you know, something came and was in the room," and they were like, "Oh, we're gonna go over here in the living room. Like, this is getting too weird over here. I don't know what's happening." And I was like, "I guess not everybody believes the same way I did." Yeah, and she was really trying to create friendship with these two people, and they after that night they were like, "I don't think so. I don't think so. Yeah, no, it's not happening."
See, and I think it's fear. There again, they don't have the knowledge behind it. And so they become fearful because that's what we're told.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's so hard not to be fearful.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, I do think that, and partly what is tough is that so much of the messaging we get in our worlds, in our communities is fear, 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 you know. If you aren't afraid of, you know, the water that you're drinking from the tap, you're crazy. If you're not afraid of, you know, your toothpaste, does it have too much fluoride? Does it not have enough? You know, I just feel like all the messaging in the world is fear, and fear feels like a very big, and excuse this term, but it's almost like this energy. You can talk about a lot of different fears, but it's all coming from one place. And that it's very alive, and that it's almost this, I wouldn't say malevolent, but it's something that we need to conquer. Like we need to make friends with it. It can be befriended, but we need to, I don't know. It just seems so huge to me.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. No, I totally agree. And you know, I had it until the plant medicine showed me other way. Oh, Yeah, showed me other way to not be afraid and to embrace it. And I think our ego comes into mind. Our ego taught us how to survive, and that's where the fear comes in. And so if you can calm down your ego and say, "I'm okay, I'm all right," then you can get past it. And or you can ask your ego, "Why should I be afraid? And what is keeping me from moving forward?"
Yeah, I look at you and I so admire and I'm kind of enthralled by your bravery, but also your matter of factness, but also your bravery in taking ayahuasca, because it is no joke. I mean, every time I read about, you know, people are throwing up or it's coming out the other end and it's like for 8 hours or it's overnight or maybe they're having a vision that is just, they're paralyzed because it's so overwhelming and terrifying. I mean, it is not, you do not mess around.
No. And there again, you've got to set an intention. You've got to have a relationship with Grandmother Ayahuasca. And yes, I mean, everybody's going to be afraid when they take it for the first time. I mean, that's human. And so, yeah, the more though that you resist, the more you're going to get sick and the more you're not going to have a good experience. So it's really hard to surrender, just breathe into it. And they usually have music playing and everything else. But whenever you say about throwing up, you're releasing things. So you're not really, it's not like when you eat and you have a stomach bug, it's totally different. You're getting rid of energy. You're getting rid of that negative stuff. And I had one of my teachers said, this doesn't seem very, you know, becoming, but she said, "I can read vomit. I see stories in vomit. It can tell me something about a person." So when you're going through this, and I felt my teacher was worried about me, but you know what? I am so grateful for it. I feel so much better afterwards. And it's just, you can feel that release. And grandmother was going, "I'm okay. I'm here." And yes, your visions can be intense. But again, it just, you've got to breathe through it and know that you're going to be okay.
Amazing. I want to talk a little bit about Mary Magdalene. Yes. And, you know, for millennia, literally for millennia, she's been kind of, well, not kind of, she has been maligned It has been suggested that she is wanton, a harlot, horrible, evil, you know, every kind of negative adjective that you can throw at a woman. Mary Magdalene has probably had them thrown at her. She was a convenient scapegoat for the church, is my belief. And it makes me so angry. I just to let you know, I once stomped out of a restaurant in Portland with my ex and I were having dinner, and we had this huge fight around the Council of Nicaea. Huge. I left the restaurant because I was like, I'm right and you're not. That dinner was over rather quickly. So Mary Magdalene has just, because of how she's been painted, because of how she's been maligned, I've always had a soft spot for her. Because it was men who wrote the Bible or gathered the books in the Bible. And she was a convenient scapegoat. But as well, that makes her kind of an outlier or in a liminal space where she can kind of be a trickster and this figure that can be the rebel that comes back and can shift and change everything. Because nobody's, you know, she's kind of throwaway. They're like, oh, Mary Magdalene. Let's talk about Mary, Joseph, Jesus. Nobody really wants to talk about Mary Magdalene. So that allows her the space to shake things up. I don't know. Am I saying this correctly?
Oh, I love how you're saying it. And so what we need to do is take out I think it's a human of us, but that's an earthly issue. So when you look at Mary Magdalene, think of her in spirit, not as a human being. So whenever we get angry at how she was treated, that was how society was back then. And she did make an impact, and that was what was important, and continues to make an impact for women. And she was actually the female side of Jesus. He was, he's the male and she was a female. You need both. And he was a big advocate for women. So that's why she was able to minister with him. And, and so it's okay if men threw her under the bus, because, again, that's an earthly problem. And consciousness, for some reason on earth, that's where we needed to go to learn where we are now. And so, yeah, I mean, it does for us open the door, but she's not here to fight our battles. She's here to help us raise our energy and remember who we are and to use that Christ consciousness. And that Christ consciousness that Jesus was teaching about was, of course, truth, find out who you are, because that's your birthright. And once you learn more about your truth, that's where the knowledge comes in. And then love is the most important. So that's what all of her energy, the Christ consciousness energy, is all about, and why she is coming now, because we need it.
Absolutely. I was thinking about your remark about ego earlier, and how part of the process that I'm going through is not totally divesting myself of ego, but letting go of large chunks of it, because I'm getting the sense that I won't be an effective change maker or leader if I'm not incredibly humble, if I'm not able to come from a place of love. Because, I mean, I firmly believe that love is the basis for all things. I mean, just absolutely the basis for all things. And if I'm too tied into my ego and, having power or having money, or then I completely miss every chance to connect with love, because that field of love, you can't go in there with the huge ego. You know, it's kind of impossible to access or even hold. If you're carrying a lot of rage or you're carrying a lot of anger, or you're not healing your ancestral trauma, like we were talking about earlier, it's harder to access that field of love that's everywhere. It takes a lot of work, I guess, it's a lot to get to these places where you can access love or be in the space with that pure love. But yes, there's a lot of crying involved, at least from my end.
Yes. And you got to start somewhere, you know, where you say, you know, you still have your ego and everything. You got to start with yourself, of course, and you've got to forgive yourself and you have to love yourself. And that in itself is very, very difficult before you can go to other people and do that. But you've got to find where you are and who you are and develop it that way. And the ego will fight. Oh, it fights. And that's where you have to look at childhood trauma and ask the angels and God, your divine, whoever, to help you. You don't have to go in it alone. And just ask, would you please give me the memories that I need to heal, that I need to look at so I can find the love that I need in my life. But it is not an easy task. And sometimes it takes more than this lifetime to be able to heal yourself.
So much work.
Yes. You know, and one of the women that I'm going through these journeys with, she said, Michelle, it seems like you've been doing healings in other lifetimes. And I said, well, I'm still healing, but no, I agree with you. So I think I've been doing this healing for several different lifetimes.
Amazing. Wow. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I wanted to just say thank you for telling me about my galactic visitor. That means a lot. And it comes to this, I'm going to tell you a really quick story. So yeah. My father, I believe, is in the process of dying and he's had dementia, but it's accelerated greatly lately. And, you know, he can't really talk anymore. He has Lewy body dementia. But it's shocking how quickly he's going and he's sleeping a lot now. So with my mystic's heart and, you know, in seminary, I took death and dying and I've also read a lot about it. I thought to myself, oh, you know, in his sleep, he's already visiting those other realms. He's already meeting with people. He's already talking. And one thing that's been comforting me is my father loved in this life to meet and talk with strangers. He missed a plane once because he was like so excited about the stranger he just met. He was enchanted and is enchanted by other human beings, just revels in them. And, you know, it's very strange. Of course, I'm going to be sad when he's no longer here, but I have been thinking, oh my gosh, now when he passes, he's going to be able to meet everyone in the universe. And how exciting is that going to be for him? He's going to be. And so that's been giving me consolation and I'm excited for him. I'm sad, but at the same time, also excited for him. I just thank you. It just dovetails in with what we've been talking about. So I appreciate it that you told me someone came and visited me because I was like, I'm right. Dad's going to meet everybody in the universe. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, he's going to find out all this knowledge that we do not know yet.
I know. I'm so jealous.
And go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I've learned that we continue to learn even when we cross over.
Thank
so
God.
That, yeah.
I'd love to ask you the main question of the podcast, which is, I would so appreciate, I feel like this whole frankly, conversation has been about magic and miracles, but I'd love for you to share one story or two stories about something that's happened in your life or that you've experienced or witnessed that you felt was magical, miraculous, or mysterious. I feel like that's a silly question because we've literally just been talking about all this stuff this whole time.
No. And I think it's a wonderful question because to me, I find whenever I look at every day or when every situations or even turn on the TV, I know not negative stuff, but positive stuff. Even in the negative, you can find miracles. You know, when there's a tragedy, you see people loving each other, hugging each other, helping each other. So if we look around, we're going to see a miracle. But what really comes to mind is, again, looking at a child's eyes. Whenever I was a teacher, I saw miracles every day in my kids in the classroom. When I worked with kids with autism, I saw miracles. And I just saw spirit within each one of these children. And because they haven't been programmed yet, but the autism, you know, kids under the autism spectrum, they can see things that we cannot see. And with their sensory issues and everything, it just, it was, and I could do, I got to tell you this real quick. I could, and I didn't realize that was a thing. I thought maybe I'm making up my mind, but I was working with a kiddo and, you know, meltdown city. And what I would do is telepathy. I would tell him, you need to calm down. I'm here for you. I love you. And I would see him calming down and I would send my energy to him. And I didn't know it was a thing until I did some research and it's a thing. And I was also an evaluator. And so whenever I would give IQ tests and these kids, you know, would be thinking and be stuck and I would have the answer in my mind. And then they go, oh, I know the answer and would tell immediately. And I'm going, okay, maybe they're reading my mind. So the next one came and I had a different answer in my mind and they had that answer, even though it was wrong. So I had to learn how to not think about the answers to the questions. I had to think of something else after I gave. So, you know, so children are just a basket full of spirituality and just divine presence, and they haven't gotten rid of anything. And they're just so innocent, and they see things for the first time always. So that's, and being a grandmother, oh my gosh, that is magical in itself. And my kid, they have so much energy, but being a grandmother, it's almost like I can love them, I can spoil them, and then I can send them home.
You are not the first grandmother I've heard say that. So not surprising. So I have to ask you, have you heard of the show, The Telepathy Tapes?
Yes. And I've watched some of it. And she does go on about the story where these children are in a different country. And no, I'm talking about, okay, yeah, that one too, she talks about. But with autism children, yeah, they have their own little dimension that they can go to and talk with each other.
Yeah, called The Hill.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Yeah, and so that's why your story is particularly powerful for me, is because I've been listening to the telepathy tapes and, you know, all the experiences I've had in my life that have been supra normal and not Western science would just say I'm schizophrenic or I'm crazy. It just wouldn't agree that I've had these experiences, but I know that I'm sane. You know, I also have a curious heart. So, and I love science. So I just think to myself, oh, I'm just experiencing a different level of science that we just haven't been able to classify yet or prove or whatever. And someday it's going to be very matter of fact. This is not going to be a big deal. Thank goodness, by the way, although I wouldn't want to have someone read my mind all the time because sometimes I'm feeling kind of grumpy, but telepathy is real. Yes. And it's, you know, that's how the juniper tree, I was able to connect with the juniper tree because the juniper tree has consciousness. I created a respectful relationship. And so, you know, then I just started conversing with it in a different way. I think the end story is that there's just so much possibility everywhere. We just have to be open to it.
And then we can also talk about timelines, but that's a different story. That would take forever. Or quantum field and, you know, quantum physics and different timelines, different choices. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Are you talking about the idea that every time we make a choice, it splits off from the main trunk and creates another miniature universe, or not? Yes. Miniature, creates another universe where we're living both in that universe and then we split off. So all of our choices create a different universe or pocket of existence.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I know. I was actually flabbergasted. I read a headline this year that said, scientists are coming to believe that deja vu is our consciousness bumping in to our consciousness in another universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought, finally, because I already thought that's what was happening. But I was like, finally, someone is brave enough to say it.
You're being validated. But oh, absolutely. And that's one thing that Mary taught me as well, is her story. It's almost like the Mandela effect. It started a new timeline. So, you know, when you talk to people about Mary, there's so many different stories that are circulating about her that are so different. It's because of that, of the different timelines, and the different lessons that are being learned from each timeline.
I could talk to you forever.
And I could talk to you forever too, my dear.
Michelle, I have to say that I'm just so impressed and so enamored of the fact that you're so open, you're so curious about the world, but also curious about yourself. And you're continuing this really deep, rich excavation of self so that you can then help heal others or be present to others. You are literally an angel walking on this earth.
Oh, well, thank you. And I think, you know, we all are. It's just we're having different experiences. Absolutely. And to point that out, I am actually going through an ego death right now, and talk about painful. And I know that several people go through so many different ego deaths in a lifetime, but I'm going through right now, and it does bring in that depression and the fear again. And I've had to talk to my spiritual teacher about it, but things are moving along. It's escalating.
Yeah, I always think of those periods as, well, I'm very romantic, let's say. And, you know, I'm into the story of the world. And I think sometimes I'm like, well, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death again. And I see the end over there, but I got to keep walking. I got to keep walking, but it's over there. It's going to end. But I'm walking.
an ending always starts a new beginning.
Guys, I hope you appreciated this really fun dynamic that Michelle and I had, and Michelle's infinite capacity for telling stories. I also like her humility, okay? Because she's doing some really big work, and she's so humble about all of it. I would be completely drunk with power and just be going crazy, but Michelle actually is, she's a good model for me. There will be a link to Michelle's website as well as to her Instagram and her book, Sarah's Spiritual Journey with Jesus. There will be a link to that as well in the episode show notes. Do yourself a favor and do a deeper dive on Michelle and the beauty that she's bringing into the world, because we need it. We need the beauty now. Not going to lie about that. We need more beauty. If you feel it in your heart, if you feel like you've really appreciated this podcast and this conversation, and you feel like writing a review or leaving a rating, I would be so grateful. Those ratings and reviews mean so much to me, and they help other people find the podcast. Thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like Michelle. I mean, be ready to pivot in this life, right? I mean, be ready, because you never know when you wake up each day what that day is going to bring you, how you're going to have to show up for other people, how you're going to have to show up for yourself. I mean, of course, we live in an uncertain world, and we were living in an uncertain world 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 100 years ago. I mean, each of us, every day we wake up, our lives can change irrevocably that very day. But Michelle's learned to pivot and take it all in stride and with grace. So be like Michelle and learn to pivot, be open to the mystery, be open to the gifts and the challenges that life has to bring you, because those gifts and challenges, they're honing you, they're shaping you.
And we need those new people that you're going to become, because we're going to need to show up for each other and be there for each other. And it's only through the love and compassion and empathy of all of us that we'll be able to keep not only the balance for us, but for everyone else. And and bring more beauty. I mean, that's really important as well. All right, thanks for listening, and I'll see you so very soon for the very next episode of the podcast.
What did you say?
How woo-woo can I get?
Oh, you can get woo. You can get woo. Okay. You should hear some of my stories about what's happened to me. So, and my listeners have heard those stories. So,
oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Well, and if I say anything and you don't want me to go there, just say,
Oh, that's okay.